1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read verses 6 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Boy, am I going to have to hurry this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 6 through 11. We'll read this passage responsively, and I'll pray. We'll have a quick special, and then I'm going to come back and preach for about 30 or 35 minutes. That's it. I'll land the plane. I'll crash land it if I got to, and we'll pick up later with what I don't cover. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. Ready? Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, and that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. And let's pray. Father, I need you today. Holy Spirit, anoint my lips. Lord, I just want to help your people. I just want to help each and every person in this room. We've got young people that really have no idea and real concept of what this is. We have young couples and middle-aged folks and older folks that we've lived a lifetime and seen this changed. Help us to get back to what you say about it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. This chapter is about marriage, it's about the home, and it's about love. Of course, we are entering into February, we are in February, and we've got Valentine's Day coming up, and all those wonderful things. And this chapter is about how we're to get along with those with whom we love. Contrary to what is taught in our world today, did you know that men and women are different?
Yes, sir.
I know that is a shocking reality. Did you know when I was a kid, my mom and dad didn't have to teach me which bathroom to use? And I didn't have a choice. If you went to the wrong one, you found out right away. All right? Now, I do realize that is politically incorrect. But I don't give a flip. Men and women are different. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Man was not complete without a wife, though. Now, listen to me. But I want you to understand something. God didn't realize that man didn't realize that man was incomplete. God did.
Yes, sir.
You never find one time where man said to God, I need a wife. Man was perfectly content, wrapped up in his work, doing what he was supposed to do with his life. That's why a man can get so wrapped up in work, he forgets the rest of the world. Can I tell you why people get in trouble? They're not working enough. Young people get in trouble because they don't work enough. When we left the farms and went to the city and young people didn't have much to do, they started getting in more trouble. Brother Mike and I were talking earlier. I never knew what it was like to sleep past 7 o'clock in my life. Say why? Because my dad made sure of that. My brother and I's bedroom was upstairs in our little house that we had there in Elwood Avenue in Canton, Ohio. And he had taken the middle of the attic and turned one end of that into our bedroom, and the other part of it was for storage in the hallway to get to our bedroom. My dad would stand at the bottom of the steps, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. All right, guys, time to get up. He called once. If you heard the footsteps coming up the steps, it didn't matter if you were dressed by the time he got there, you're going to get it. He had better heard feet hitting the ground when he said time to get up. That's just the way it was. Now, God made man, and God looked down and said, it's not good for man that he should be alone, and God made him a woman, Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. I'm not going to go through those verses right now. Let me say this. God did not make another man.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
God didn't give man a buddy. He gave him a wife. God didn't give him another work partner so that he could share the workload and compete with. No, he gave him a wife. God gave Adam a woman that came from his own bones, from his own flesh, from the rib, from his side. She was totally different from Adam. Say, how did she get the name woman? Because he looked at her and said, whoa, man. She was totally different. She was soft, beautiful, tender, compassionate, and weaker, unlike an ugly old man.
Right.
Rough, nasty, mean, tough, not so tender, or at least they shouldn't be. If you are, we'll take you out back and rough you up a bit, amen? Now, yeah, buddy, a couple times. The softer ones twice, amen? The woman was made to complete man. Listen to this. God said, I'll give you a woman that will complete you. Listen to this. He didn't give him a woman to compete with him.
That's right.
Amen. I know. I just made half the women mad at me. This did not make her less of a human being. But her success was not to beat the man. It was to complete the man. My daughter called last night, and she was, well, Daddy, I beat Brandon real good in the game tonight. I thought, I know what I'm preaching tomorrow. She doesn't. I said, you're supposed to complete him, not compete with him. Oh, she said, Dad. I said, make sure he hears that one. She put it on speaker in a phone, and I said it. And Brandon's, that's right, that's right. That's good. I said, you ought to be better than her anyway. Oh, toe-headed idiot. I mean, now wait a minute. You have to understand something. Man and woman were not equally made. God made man from the dust of the earth. God made woman from the rib from Adam's side. This ERA garbage going around is nasty stuff. That's humanism.
Yes, sir.
It's a lie from Hades. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
God didn't make women to be men.
That's right.
That's called homosexuality. Yes. And God didn't make man to be a woman. Thank God.
Amen.
Y'all can have all the babies you want. I ain't having none. Now, wait a minute. Her job was not to be equal with man. Her job was to complete man. Now, here's the sermon. Now that we know that men and women are different, this is where we're going to say, oh me. God says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8, finally, be ye all of one mind. Everybody knows men and women do not think the same. There's not one woman in this room that thinks like a man, and there's not one man in this room that thinks like a woman. And you ought to be thankful. Now, wait a minute. God says, though, that we should be all of one mind. How can we all be of one mind and be yet so different? Well, God does not ever tell you to do something in the Bible without giving you the ability and showing you how to do it. God will not command you to do anything that he has not given you the ability to do and without showing you how to do it. God says, to go to heaven, you're supposed to get saved. It's not by your works. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't get to heaven by what you do. You're not good enough because we're all sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Because we're sinners, we all deserve hell. There's a penalty on sin. But Jesus came and paid that price for you. And you can't earn it because you're not good enough to earn it. You have to receive it by faith. By God's grace, you get it. And guess what? You're on your way to heaven. God said you can do it. Here's how you do it. And unless you do that, you don't get it. Amen. I don't care if you're baptized in every church so you know every tadpole by name. You're not going to heaven. I don't care if you take the sacraments. I don't care if they put ashes on your forehead. I don't care if you rub Buddha's belly. It doesn't matter what you do. Those are things that you do. You can join every church and still die and go to hell. You can join this church, get baptized in this church, and die and go to hell. It has nothing to do with that. So God gives you a command. He also gives you the wherewithal to A, obey it, and B, tells you how to obey it. Yes, Valentine is on the way. And I'm one of those people that believes you can have Valentine's every day.
Amen.
Why have one day a year where everybody's lovey and mushy and 364 days a year where everybody's at each other's throats?
That's
right. Why don't we just learn how to express love openly every day in our homes? Let's see how to be all of one mind. By the way, that doesn't mean you get chocolate every day either, ladies. All right? It was a good try. I just lost the crowd on that one, Brother Stoltz. Number one, and I must hurry. The Bible says, how do you become all of one mind? First thing he says, having compassion one of another. Verse 8 says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. This means you think about the feelings of the person you love more than your own feelings. That little lady sitting right there behind Scott's ugly head. I love that lady. Do you know, I make decisions for her and I and the home based on her feelings much of the time. Now, I don't make the decision based on her feelings, but I think about her feelings before I make a decision. Everybody doing okay? I don't go out and just spend whatever I want on me. And since she works at home and doesn't work outside the home, say, well, if you get the leftovers. How would you like to live that way, sir? She's there to complete you. Learn how others feel rather than just how you feel. Okay, let me show you something. My wife does not have the stamina that I have. Very few people do. I'm one of those people that can go 18, 19, 20 hours a day, every day, 365 days a year, and just keep on going. I go till I pass out, and I wake up a few hours later, 4 or 5 hours of sleep, I'm good to go, on we go again. It's just the way God made me. My wife is not that way. Now, there are times I'm ready to press through things, and I look at her and say, she's not ready to do that. She's tired. Either I do it myself, or I wait for another time when it's supposed to be us doing it together to where she's stronger to do it. And I don't get mad at her because she's tired. Well, I worked all day long, and you're supposed to. You're a man. You didn't marry another man, or are you Adam and Steve? Did you want another man? Something's wrong with your thinking. Consider the other person. Just because you can keep going doesn't mean she's going to. Everybody doing all right?
Sure.
Man, I'm having fun right now. We need to make our responses to everyone, especially those in our home, thinking about how they're going to feel the way we respond. Now, when I'm by myself, Brother Stoltz, my favorite name for me is stupid. None of the little kids are in here. I can say that word. It's a bad word to the little boys and girls. I'll do something and say, you stupid, why'd you do that? Do you know how it's going to be at home if I respond to my wife that way? 28 and a half years. Whew, almost forgot how long I've been married. Lord, forgive me. 28 and a half years. Do you know I have never called my wife stupid? Say why? Now, I've called me that 28 times today. But I have never called her that because I know how that would affect her. Now, me? Go for it. I remember in seventh grade, I was sitting in school. I was at public school at the time. My science teacher, Mr. Rexroad, was telling about something he did, and he did something really stupid. of course, B, I sat on the front row. I was right in front of him. I was this close to him, Dan. And all of a sudden, he said what he did, and I said, "You big dummy." You know, one of those thoughts that you have as a kid, and all of a sudden you realize, uh-oh, did I say that? I said it. I had to write 300 times, "I will not call Mr. Rexroad a dummy," for the next day. I never call him a dummy again.
Out loud.
You may need to keep your full response to yourself and think about that other person before you respond to them. Did you know not everybody knows what you know? Did you know that not everybody understands what you understand? Did you know not everybody can do what you can do? Quit expecting them to do everything you do. God made them to be them, not you. You know, I never look down at anybody that can't keep up with my pace and my schedule. I never do. I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm really not. 4 o'clock, I was wide awake this morning, prayed for 30 minutes, got up, was at church a little after 5 o'clock this morning. That's not unusual for me. Say, what time are you going to go to bed? I was up at 1:30 at one point in time, or 1:45 this morning too, for a while. Got to bed about 11. Go at it again. Now, I don't expect everybody, I don't think you're not a man if you can't keep up with me. God knows that's not how it works. Man needs to realize that because a woman or a child has feelings doesn't mean they're hormonal or soft. Did you know my wife feels differently than I do? I like picking on on our dog. I got this little beagle. My wife has this thing so stinking spoiled. It is the sissiest dog you ever saw in your life. My dog, if somebody broke in my house, the only way I'm going to know somebody broke in is because she's going to be laying on the floor going, wanting petted. That's it. That dog wouldn't hurt anything. It'll be sitting on the chair with us. No, it'll be sitting there and she's rubbing it, you know. And I just take it and I go on its head a little bit. She'll quit hitting the dog. I'm not hitting it, I'm petting it. That's love tapping. I'll sit there and pester that dog. She doesn't like her feet touched. She's laying there yesterday, kind of half in, half out. And I grabbed her feet and pulled them up in the air like this, and I was holding them. She looked at me and went, "Mm-hmm." My wife, "Aww." My first thought was, and I did not say it out loud, was, "It's none of your business." You know, God saw fit to complete man with a woman who has feelings. Did you know children aren't adults? And by the way, teenagers aren't adults either. They think they are, but they're not. You know, it'll do every man good to listen to your wife respond and pay attention to what she says. Allow her to complete you. Can I tell you something? This is a statement I make often. I can't lead others the way I lead me. If I led Arlene the way I lead me, she'd never show up again. Because I'm hard on me. I'm not going to be hard on you. Brother Mike knows. Shoot. Brother Mike and I stood in a hole with a jackhammer for 14 hours one day trying to break a rock that long and about that deep. He was looking for dynamite to break the stupid thing. It was so bad. We had blood running off our hands and blisters upon blisters that broke and popped, and about 140 degrees outside. We had to let the jackhammer cool because it was so hot. We went through 2 bits. I'm not afraid to jump in a hole, but I'm not going to lead that man that way. Say why? I lead me that way, not anybody else. I'll think about your feelings before I do that. Don't lead others. That's what the Bible says, having compassion one of another. Let me hurry. It says love is brethren. Now that sounds strange. No, it literally means It is the word phileo or Philadelphia, which is the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. That means we are to have in our homes brotherly love. That doesn't mean you're fighting all the time. Okay? Brotherly love means family love. Everybody listen to this statement. Your in-laws are as much a part of your family as your blood family is. When I married into my wife's family, her family became my family. The Cox family became our family. Now, it's a little bit different. They're Norwegians from Minnesota, yeah? You betcha. What not? You know, anybody that lives in 20 below zero weather by choice, something's not right upstairs, you know? Just not right. I got a few brain cells that froze or something, and it just stuck. But wait a minute. I call my mother-in-law mom. And she's as much my mom as she is her mom. And I treat her that way. I'm going to make a statement here. This should include if you've been married and divorced and you have step-parents or step-children. Your step-parents and your step-children ought to be treated just like blood family. Ouch. Marriage makes you one, which means what was theirs is yours and what's yours is theirs. Did you know my daughter-in-law, Ruth Ann, is as much a daughter to me as my own daughter, Melinda, is? I treat her the same way. I pick on both of them. I feel sorrier for Ruth Ann because she's got Josh. You know, marriage makes you as close as blood related. You ought to treat each other that way. Statements like, yeah, you just act just like your mother. Oh, yeah, that's really going to help things a whole lot, isn't it? Accept all of each other's family as your family and think of them as your own. That's what the Bible says, love as brethren. We have way too much of, well, it's her family, and this is my family stuff. Listen to me, folks. Next, Bible says be pitiful. Now, that's not the word that you think pitiful means. It doesn't mean worthless or substandard or trashy. Pitiful means tender-hearted and full of compassion. Tender-hearted is like a lady with a baby. We were over at the Heaney's yesterday. They had a politically incorrect party. They had a gender reveal. And these days, they're probably going to outlaw those because it's to be determined by the owner later. The word pitiful, and I think it was, is it your sister that had the little one?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a little baby there, I'm guessing probably 4 or 5 months old-ish. The little baby's getting passed all around. Everybody's, They handed it to Joe, and he's like this. And I said, barf on him, barf. I know, anyway, I did say that, though. You know, the word pitiful means we need to put ourselves in the other person's place and see it as they see it. Fellas, before you go out and go do something stupid without your wife, why don't you think about how she's going to see it? Before you go spend $800 on a new gun.
Sacrilege.
I'm not against you buying a brand new gun. But let me ask you a question. Did you find out what she needed first or wanted first? When's the last time you bought her something worth that much?
It's her gun.
Yeah, it's her gun. If you're not careful, she's going to shoot you with that gun. Now, wait a minute. I'm not against you doing it. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever spent that on her? You're real free to spend it on you, but how does she see it? Well, I give her X amount. Okay. Does she have the same amount as you because you're one? Oh, me. That's part of being completed or being a completer. That's thinking as the other person thinks. By the way, you cannot read their mind. Ladies, ain't no way you're going to read a man's mind. Usually it's blank. Fellas, you're not going to read her mind because it's going to change by the time you did. But you can see it from their viewpoint without your negative slant and your sarcastic comments. You know, God loves us so much that he allowed Jesus to live here with the same sin, the same temptations that we have around him, but he didn't yield. Don't allow the worldly psychology that people are taught and we put way too much of man's stupid thinking into it. Well, she's type A and I'm type B. Gag. Or he's type A and I'm type B. We've got type A, type B, type C, type X, Y, Z. It doesn't matter. Usually putting people into people groups like that. I'm going to read this. That is your laziness, not wanting to be tenderhearted. I don't label people like that. Just because they think differently than I don't throw them into a category that I don't like. You don't want somebody doing something in a different way from you. That's your arrogance, that's your pride that's being hurt, and maybe she does have a better way. Ma'am, maybe he has a better way. I'll promise you this. If my wife and I disagree on how something's done, and I choose to do it her way, and it doesn't work, I don't blame her for it. I take the blame that I wasn't wise enough to see it wasn't going to work. And if I choose to do it my way, it doesn't work. Usually she doesn't hold it against me. Say why? Because we tried. We did it together. We made a decision. We may not have totally agreed on it, but we agreed we weren't going to argue over it later. Boy, that's good stuff. Yes. Number 4, be courteous. Bible says, be all of one mind. How? By having compassion one of another, loving as brethren, be pitiful. Next, be courteous. That's friendliness of mind. Friendly to the feelings of someone else. You know that wisdom is seeing life through the eyes of God? To have wisdom isn't being full of facts, it's being able to see life as God sees it. Yes. Now watch this. A wise relationship learns to see things in the light of the person that you're loving. Did you know I can look at things and say, this is what Mindy would say. This is what Jeff would or would not say. This is what Josh would do. This is how my wife would respond. I've learned how to love them. I've learned how they think. And I can just about predict it because I have been courteous to them in giving them that ability for me to think as they would think. Can I tell you something? You ought to be more courteous at home than you are in public. Some of us are more courteous to the people we work with than we are the people we live with at home. Some of you men will hold the door for the ladies at church or the ladies in public, but you'll never hold your wife's door. Well, I'm married to her. She can hold her own door.
Amen.
Oh, my. Yeah. Yeah, oh, me. Well, that one hurt, didn't it? Can I tell you something? We ought to be saying please and thank you at home more than we do anywhere else. Some of you are kinder to a waitress at a restaurant than you are to your own wife. Ouch. Some of you will speak more kindly to women you work with than to the people in your own home. Be courteous. I've got to hurt. Man, is it quiet in here or what? All the air just went out of the room. Number 5, I'll quit for the morning on this point. Aren't you glad? Somebody say amen. Number 5, the Bible says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrawise blessing. That means don't give evil or railing to each other. Everybody doing all right? I love you. Here we go. Evil is not necessarily sin. Now listen to this very carefully. Sin, the Bible talks about, is a transgression of the law. It means you trespass. You cross over a line that you shouldn't have crossed over. Evil is when two or more people get together to try to destroy somebody's reputation. That's evil. When two people or more people join in and say,
Did you hear about what Scott did? Did you hear how much of a reprobate he is? Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. And that's not even the evil part. The evil part is when we go over here and we talk to Neil and say, Neil, come here. We got to tell you something. Did you know what Scott did? We got this on record. Okay? Let me bring that down into our redneck terms. That's called gossip. It's wicked as hell.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, God said he hates it.
Amen.
God says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And one of those is gossip.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That's why if you're going to wag your tongue, go to another church.
Amen.
Or come down here and stretch it out on the altar. We'll make more room in the new building for it. I have no tolerance for gossip because it's evil. You're trying to talk about somebody Amen. In a bad way. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Here we go. About third week since I haven't said it. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before one of our young people does something stupid and messes up. And I bring them up here and tell everybody here what wrong you did. What good is that? Well, that's called church discipline. They have no idea what the Bible means by church discipline.
That's right.
That's a bunch of long-tongued people that want to know everybody else's sin. That's evil, it's wrong, and it's as wicked as the devil.
Yes, sir.
Well, you're just trying to cover up sin. I happen to know that if that person's saved, their sin's under the blood, they'll never be judged for it. God washed it away. What do you want to do bringing it up for? If I threw up on the floor, how many of you are going to volunteer to eat it? Then why are you going to let somebody barf in your ear and you listen to it and spread it around and suck it down the old pie hole?
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. You know, we should respond to even our people in our own home that are trying to be evil, not with evil. Young people go through a stage in the teen years. They're trying to figure out what they are, who they are, and if they are. Half the time they're teenagers, half the time they're adults, and it's kind of like teaching somebody to drive a stick shift. They can't figure the difference between third, first, and reverse. And it gets real exciting. And it gets a little bumpy. They can't figure out that clutch right away. Man, you think you're riding on a bucking bronco for a while. But wait a minute. Did you know you're not supposed to respond to them in an evil way? Will you quit acting like your mother? Okay, that's evil. You've not only talked down to your wife, you've talked bad about her mama.
That's right.
If somebody talked bad about your mama, somebody ought to, you're ready to slap them. No wonder she's pretty upset with you. Everybody doing all right? Or, you're as stubborn as your father. No kidding. Now, wait a minute. What good does it do to respond to somebody the same way you were treated? Somebody's got to grow up and put the big boy or big girl pants on.
Yes, right.
Somebody's got to step up and say, I am not going to respond to that. It doesn't mean you storm out of the house and never talk to him again either. Ouch. Just because someone hurts you or hurts your feelings or is harsh to you is no reason to respond to them the same way. Do you know how many times could somebody just push that door too? Listen to me very carefully. Do you know how many times I've been talked bad to? Good night. I've had people print things in the newspaper about me that weren't right. I've had all kinds of things. I've had people write four-letter words all over my truck in front of my house. I've had people try to do all kinds of things. Trust me. I live that life. You say, bless God, what are you going to do about it? Stop at the car wash on the way in and wash the words off the side of my truck? I just thank God my enemies aren't bright enough to know any words bigger than four letters. I walked out not long ago and my truck had all kinds of very vulgar words that I would never even allude to. I looked at it, and my flesh said, ugh. Brother Scott, I got in my truck, and I put my head down. I said, God, I'm sorry that somebody hates that bad. I'm sorry that they're that bitter. God, would you help them to have a good day? Would you help them to resolve their bitterness? Not for my sake, but for their sake, because I feel sorry for them. Now, the good thing is my enemies are up late, but they don't get up early, so I had it washed off before they ever woke up. I felt sorry for them. I didn't get angry. No, I'm not real happy about all the eggs thrown at my house and my cars. I'm not happy about all the words written on them. And I'm not happy about, oh man, I've been chewed out by a lot of people. I've been called everything that I shouldn't be called. Guess what? I don't respond to it that way. I don't get in arguments that way. Everybody doing okay? Man, it's getting quiet in here. Let me ask you a question. How will being evil or unkind to someone who is evil or unkind to you resolve anything? My Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Somebody's got to step up and say, I'm not arguing. My wife and I have been married 28 and a half years. Promise you, 28 and a half years, we have never raised our voices to each other in an argument. Ever. Not one time. Before we got married, I said, look, we're not going to scream and holler at each other. We're not going to always agree. But we're going to agree to disagree in a sane way. Can I tell you something? My children, I've got one that's 26, 22, and 20. Is that right? Thought I was right, and all of a sudden I started thinking, maybe I'm not. Wait a minute. My children have never, ever seen their parents argue in their whole life. And they're adults. They've seen mom and dad disagree with one another. But they've never seen us argue. Fuss. Sometimes I'll say something, she'll say, I don't think so. I'll say, yes it is. She'll say, I don't think it was that way. And one of my kids will say, are you two arguing? That's about as loud as it gets, you know. They think it's great that they see us disagree. Huh. Too many adults act like two kids in a sandbox fighting over a toy. That's how your flesh reacts. God tells husbands and wives, men and women, to be all of one mind. And men and women don't think the same. Not at all. But he said, I gave you each other to complete you. Ladies, you need the man. Men, you need your wife more than she needs you. Imagine a world full of nothing but men. What a nasty place. What a stinking, nasty, mean, stinking place it would be. You better thank God he gave you a woman and not another man. Huh. Just as God, who is perfect, wants us to live in unity with a husband or a wife or our family, he wants us to live with him in unity in eternity. Everybody listen to this and I'm done. You can know before you walk out that door today that you're 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. It's not joining this church. It's not getting baptized. It's not how good you live, because you're a sinner like me and you can't live good enough. It's not because you took the Holy Eucharist or the Holy Cow or holy this or that. It's not because you did this or that or whichever way it goes. It's not because you can count beads and pray to Mary. It's not because of something you did. You get saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He shed his blood at Calvary and died and resurrected 3 days and three nights later. He took care of your sin debt for you, and you have to receive it as a gift. It doesn't mean you lay on the floor and flip and flop and start talking in some jibber jabber like a motorcycle. I'm not talking about that garbage. That's something you do, not me. I'm not doing that mess. Those people are weird. It's not handling snakes. I met those people. They can handle all the snakes they want. They can die and go to the booger man on their own. I'm not touching the snake. You say, why? What is that? That's all man's way. Jesus came and paid the price for you. All you have to do is trust him as your Savior. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. God wants us to dwell together with him in unity as well. I'd ask that you be honest. I will not call your name. I'll not call you out. I will not come to you. But who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? Don't you lie. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out. I will not do that. But you'd say, I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? There's one. There's two. There's another. There's three. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'll ask another question. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon today, God was talking to me personally. I needed something in that sermon today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. When the piano begins to play, if you raised your hand and said, I do not know for sure I'm going to heaven. If you're a man, I'll have a man take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you're a lady or a young lady, I'll have a lady take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure.